Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network on this Thursday, August 16th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. We start the broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, the North Dakota Mill, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. Spring wheat harvest is progressing quickly in North Dakota. Winfield United agronomist Jason Hansen estimates about 40-45% of the crop is taken off in the Lake Region area. Yields variable depending on how the wheat crop was prepped.
I've heard stuff anywhere from the 60s all the way up to the mid-80s for yields. Protein is varied. I've heard some low stuff. I've heard some high stuff. I think it was just how you put stuff on. If it was spring applied urea, anhydrous, the variety, and then your what you got for rainfall too. So varied quite a bit in that, but I think overall everybody's fairly happy with it, outside of the price, of course.
Hansen says small amounts of ergot are popping up in the northern tier counties. Heavier amounts reported in the Carrington, New Rockford, Madoc, Jamestown, and Bismarck areas.
East Grand Forks, Minnesota farmer Chris Adams is harvesting wheat this week.
We're getting about 300 acres off a day now, so we'll hopefully be done by Saturday. Wheat harvest is going well. I think we lost about 10 bushels off the top end from the heat, but other than that, everything seems to be working pretty well. Quality seems good. I think our test weights have been about 61, and our proteins have been flirting at the 14 or 14 and a half mark. So that's always a good thing, and I think over across the board, our yields are probably around 81 or 82 average.
Adams Farm is also into sugar beet pre-pile for American Crystal Sugar Company.
We were able to get some about 2,000-ton allotment for the first week of east side hauling. So we started digging off some of our high sugar ground. The tonnage is quite low. We're thinking 14 or 15 only, but 18.5% sugar, so it's kind of worth it at this point.
Morris, Manitoba farmer Art Enns says harvest progress is moving quickly.
Started about a week ago, and as the weather is all over, it's dry and it's hot out here, so everybody's going strong, and it's been coming off very good. Quality is, for the most part, excellent over here. Bushel weight, great, and everything else. Yields are all over the place. It all depends where the rains went. They've been from above average to below average. So if you look at our wheat range, I've heard as low as 30 bushels an acre and as high as 80 bushels an acre. So it's a really wide range.
And says the oats crop was probably the most disappointing.
The oats seems to have been affected mostly by the heat. A lot of people are, a lot of the oat growers over here are struggling to get into the three-digit numbers over here. And for the most part, if the rains came, you're in that 140-plus bushel an acre, and if you aren't, you're down to 70. So it's a real wide range we have out here, too. The canola, at least for the most part, we are pleasantly surprised. I think a lot of us were saying, you know, if we get a 30-plus range in the Red River Valley, we'd be happy. And we've been hearing a lot of 40s out here. So for us, that's a good average crop.
Nebraska-based custom forage harvester Glenn Jansen is chopping corn. He's been doing that for about 3 weeks.
We started a couple 3 weeks ago down in Kansas, and certain areas of Kansas, of course, are very, very dry. They're still working down there. We started here in southeast Nebraska, down by Beatrice here, just a few days ago, and got a nice big rain the day after we started, like usual. And corn has been fantastic around here, though. It's been turning out really, really good. Everything from here on north looks really good that we've seen.
Hot temperatures push the maturity of the corn, and Jansen is scrambling to keep ahead of the maturity.
It's definitely a pretty serious concern because, yes, the heat really moved things along a lot quicker, and this last rain didn't do us any favors. We'd probably been, I don't know, we're doing the best we can, but we're still, the jury's out on whether I'm going to be able to get everybody in time. Depends on the weather.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, the North Dakota Mill, the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
National Weather Service Aberdeen meteorologist Aaron Dye says there'll be cooler temperatures going through this weekend with widespread precipitation for South Dakota.
It's going to be more just your regular, not necessarily heavy, but I mean more widespread throughout the state. whereas a lot of this has been just kind of in specific areas anytime when we've been seeing it. So some areas have been getting a lot of rain, whereas other areas maybe hardly any.
Dye says the rains will be too late for some of the crops.
I mean, it is getting kind of close to that time of year, too, and that last week didn't help us either when we were having, you know, mid-90s and still pretty dry. So this cold front coming through and cooling things down for us a little bit has helped, but we could definitely use some of that precip coming through this weekend.
The U.S. Drought Monitor shows dry conditions across the northern plains. The driest areas of North Dakota include parts of Ward, McHenry, and Pierce counties at D2, or severe drought. Other parts of the state, excluding the southeast and parts of southwest, are in abnormally to moderately dry conditions. In South Dakota, parts of Emmons, Brown, Falk, and Sink counties are in severe drought. Parts of central and north central South Dakota are abnormally to moderately dry. The drought monitor also shows northern counties in Minnesota in abnormal to moderate drought.
Grasshopper populations on the rise in parts of North Dakota. According to NDSU Extension's weekly crop and pest report, outbreaks reported in field edges of beans, sunflowers, and field corn. As cereal grains are harvested, farmers should be aware of movement into row crops. NDSU Extension says early detection is critical in preventing yield loss, with economic thresholds set at 21 to 40 adults per square yard in field margins and 18 to 14 per square yard in the field interior. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Hub City Livestock co-owner Steve Helwig says conditions are dry in Aberdeen. Farmers and ranchers haven't sold many cow-calf pairs at auction, but there are some calves starting to be weaned.
Several producers this last week here weaned off the older end of the cows and either sold the cows or took them home to feed them for a little bit. But there is a lot of weaning starting to take place. There's a lot of silage cutting taking place here right now. So it looks like to me we're 33 weeks to 30 days ahead of normal on what should be doing here.
Helwig says the hay crop will be terribly short.
I don't know whether it'll be half or a third less, a half less, but it's going to be less. Every producer I talk to is concerned about the hay crop. There will be a lot of silage. Of course, nobody wants to have to go out and cut silage. I like to pick corn, but I think some people probably will cut a little extra silage. I think we will manage to get feed up, but there's not going to be an overabundance of feed. That is for sure.
USDA's weekly export sales report reported marketing year high wheat sales of 803,000 tons, well above the previous week and the prior four-week average. Lowen and Associates President Pete Lowen calls attention to the wheat sales.
Something that bears mentioning is that we had the first really big wheat export sales number in a very long time with 29.5 million bushels in sales today. I can't say enough about how good that is. We've got to see that continue as a trend to get hopes up for wheat exports starting to improve, though.
Net old crop corn sales are reported at 339,000 tons, down 39% from the previous week and 26% below the four-week average. New crop sales are reported at just over 1.04 million tons. Old crop soybean sales are reported at 400,000 tons, down 68% from the previous week and 52% below the four-week average. New crop sales are reported at 572,000 tons.
The U.S. and China will hold lower-level talks later this month on the trade dispute. This is the first time the two have met to talk in 2 months. In that two-month time span, both countries placed large tariffs on each other's products. The talks will be led by Treasury Undersecretary David Malpass and Vice Commerce Minister Wang Shouen as a way to save face.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will be surveying farmers in 32 states for its county production survey. North Dakota NAS state statistician Darren Jancy encourages all farmers who receive a survey to fill it out.
Yeah, you know, obviously everyone counts, and, you know, everyone that we get back just means that we have that much better data. So that way when we do set the estimates, we just have as much in there as possible. But, you know, it's also important because, you know, we send out more than enough to ensure that we get, and hopefully get enough back to where we can publish a county. But, as we know, every year we still get a lot that doesn't come back, and if that happens, then we potentially can't publish a county.
And Jancy says NAS cannot publish county yields unless it receives enough reports from a county to make it statistically defensible.
Well, obviously, you know, we want to base it based off of as many responses as possible. And in order to do that, the more we get, the better the data is, and statistically defensible, like you said, that it is.
The North American Manure Expo is taking place in Brookings, South Dakota this week. Mary Berg, a livestock environmental management specialist at NDSU's Carrington Research Extension Center, says the expo is a great learning opportunity for producers and industry professionals. The event kicked off with farm tours.
So if you're more of a compost or a smaller producer, and then we also have, if you're more of a dairy or a liquid, a swine, we have a liquid tour. And then we always have a solid tour as well. We go to functional farms, so that is actually, it's real. It's an actual place where a producer would do something that you could then go home and mimic. If we don't do it on a producer's place, then we'll do it at a university setting. The practices that we do have to be able to be done on a producer's place.
There are a variety of educational topics covered at the expo, including using manure as a crop fertilizer, nutrient management, soil health, and water quality. Berg adds the sessions are hands-on, yet move at a fast pace.
We have a soil health track. We have a manure and business track. So if you're somebody that's working in any kind of business, really, the focus will be manure, the basics of manure. How do you take a sample? Why do you take those samples? And how do you read them and actually use those?
Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota State University's Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food Systems, and Natural Resources, Ken Grafton, accepted the role of Interim Provost, or Senior Administrative Officer, at NDSU. President Dean Brashani says Grafton started the new role today and will stay into the role until a search for a permanent provost is completed next year. Brashani is working with Grafton to fill Grafton's previous roles. Brashani told Red River Farm Network last week, Grafton is fortunate with a wide bench of senior administrators in agriculture to help spread the responsibilities.
I would anticipate that his role would stay vacant and we would spread his responsibilities across the extraordinary staff he has working for him.
South Dakota's change in average cash rental rates per acre from 27 to 2018 increased for cropland and is unchanged for pasture land. That according to South Dakota State University's Farm Real Estate Market Survey. Survey says average cropland cash rental rates especially increased across the southeast, northeast, central, and south central parts of the state. Non-irrigated cropland for those four areas of the state ranged from $89 per acre to $204 an acre. 76% of respondents also indicated low margins as the main reason impacting farm real estate. 14% of respondents indicated economic uncertainty as a negative factor as well.
NDSU Extension will hold a cover crop field day on August 28th near Havana, North Dakota. NDSU Plant Sciences Department Professor Marisol Birdy will present at the event, and she says the use of cover crops is becoming common in the Dakotas. Topics for the day's events will include nutrient release, cover crop selection, strip-till practices, soil moisture management, and alternative uses for cover crops. Taking a look at markets before we leave you this afternoon, September Minneapolis wheat up 11.5 at 595. September Chicago wheat up 11.5 at 543.75. September Kansas City wheat up 12.5. September corn up 4.25 at 365.75. December corn up 4.25 at 380.25. September beans up 27 at 884.5. November beans up 27.25 at 896.25. In livestock markets, October live cattle up 22 cents at 109.22. November feeders up 65 cents at 150.27. October lean hogs up $3 at 55.47. This is the Red River Farm Network.